Good evening, everybody. You're listening to the Fisherman Ministry Wednesday night ladies Bible study. I worked on the computer today, Robin.
Praise the Lord. And with success?
Well ahead of time. Well, you know, it wasn't initial success. It actually wanted to give me a fit. But I believe we're going to pray and trust that everything's going to work right tonight.
Amen.
So, in any case, we've got Robin. Hi, Robin.
Hello, Rick.
We have Megan.
Hi, Ricky.
And we have Karen. Hi, Karen.
Good evening.
And so I'm going to, since we've got a new schedule and we're on an abbreviated schedule, i.e. we're going to run it for 1 hour instead of two, I'm going to get off and let you guys get going. How's that?
Sounds good, Rick. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I turn it over to you guys.
Thanks. You know, when we do join together, we do come together by faith. And I hope that everybody who comes prepared and prayerful, that they will receive that which the Lord has for them, even as Karen, Megan, and I come praying that we will give that which the Lord would have us give. And we've been studying, just taking a look at Hebrews 11, as you all know, or any that may be joining us for the first time, and just taking a kind of, I don't want to say superficial, but an overview maybe of faith and what it looks like. And one thing, because we're going to be moving, we've looked at Moses and Abraham and Joshua, some of the major figures, Noah, in the Old Testament. Now we're going to move into some of the ones who there's a chapter or two on in the Bible, like Gideon. Gideon, everybody is familiar with his name, or Samson. That's another name that people are familiar with. But it's kind of interesting when you look, because these people show up in the book called Judges, which is after the book of Joshua, which is after the five books written by Moses, which include Exodus out of Egypt, and then, of course, Joshua is the entrance into the Promised Land. And then you have the time in the book of the Judges where Israel is ruled by judges. And it's kind of interesting when you think about the beginning of chapter 11, that the very first verse says, this is chapter 11 of Hebrews, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And one of the things you see when you read the book of Judges is during the life of the judge, kind of that generation, because you'll see repeatedly that Israel was at rest for 40 years. But the Israelites didn't have faith that gave substance to the things not seen. They needed, instead of choosing to believe God, they kept wanting something they could put their hands on and see. And Judges isn't that long of a book, and then you have Samuel, where the people excuse me, request a king, and then we go into the time of kings, Saul being the first and David being the second. But Israel was always, excuse me, going towards something that they could see rather than having faith in the God that they couldn't see. But if they, and when they did, he was evidenced. And you see that. You see the evidence. We're going to look at it tonight with Barak, who, under whom they were delivered. And the Lord showed up when he went forth in faith and was proved, and Israel had peace. And the reason why I bring this up is we need to recognize that is natural, the way the ebb and flow of Israel and their heart toward God. And we want to learn how to be steadfast in our heart toward God instead of that kind of ebbing and flowing and falling into the things of the world rather than being strong and truly courageous in the knowledge of God, which only comes by His Word. So, Megan and Karen, I welcome you to this discussion. I hope you know that that goes without saying. And so before we read a chapter, a verse or two in Hebrews, did either of you have something to add there?
That was a good overview that you gave, Robin, about faith. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
Yeah, and reading about these people that Paul highlights here in Hebrews 11, you know, it helps us to see them as people who believed the Lord, but also just as people. And what made them stand out was their faith in the Lord.
Amen. And, you know, one thing you notice when you look at the testimony in the Old Testament is these people knew the promises of God because they restate it. If you look in the Psalms, and Karen had given us a psalm to read last week, which I think was 78, Karen, am I right?
Correct.
And I don't know if how many people looked at that psalm, but it is worthy of looking at. And one thing you see is that generations later, it is restated the wonderful works of God. Excuse me. And these things were there. And one thing I'm sure you all notice too when you're in the world and when you speak with people is everybody has faith. And as we know, people put their faith in this and that and in all sorts of things. But those who claim the name of Christ, more often than not, they have created their own faith around that claim rather than familiarizing themselves with what God actually said and then believing that. And that's the faith that moves God. Not just a conversation about what I think or what you think or what somebody else thinks, but to find out what God thinks. And when we stand in that, as we're going to see, we'll look at Barak, or however you say his name, we'll see what God does when he shows up. You know what I'm saying? So actually, Karen, why don't you read verses 32 through 34.
Okay.
In Hebrews chapter 11.
And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens.
Okay. So there's a bit of an overview of what people of faith accomplished. So we're going to turn to Judges and look, and Paul puts Gideon here before Barak, but we're going to look at Barak first because he actually precedes Gideon in the book of Judges, and that is in Judges, let's go to Judges, I think it's 4.
It is 4.
Thank you, Karen. So Judges is after the book of Joshua, and I say that just to show you the order of the Bible. And the Judges, it is the history of Israel after Joshua and their entering into the promised land. So Karen, why don't you pick up reading chapter 4 there of Judges.
All right. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Am I in the right place?
You are.
Okay. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel.
Okay, just stop right there. So you see that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, which means they didn't walk in faith. They didn't obey his commandments. They did not serve him. And as the Lord had warned them, he then allowed their enemy to come in and overtake them. And in this case, there's the name to him. It's Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, and the captain of his host or of his armies was Sisera. And so Israel was oppressed by the army of Jabin, 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years they had been mightily oppressed by this man. And this is the stage upon which we see the Lord work his work. So, verse 4 there, Karen.
And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. Keep going.
Yes.
And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel up her judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Noah. And Israel
can't hear you.
We're actually losing Karen here a little bit. So we're going to stop and start again. Hold on. I'm on it. Okay. Everybody back?
Yeah.
Okay. I think so.
Good. We should be back online now.
Okay.
Alrighty. Go ahead.
Just, you know, the internet is what it is.
Yep.
Karen, I think you should probably go ahead and start reading.
And you might want to go back up and start again because you were really cutting out there, Karen. So I think you were, go back to verse 4.
Okay.
Listen, I'm gonna try and get Megan back. So I'm gonna bow out here. Sorry, folks. Bear with us as, if you will. We're going to get everybody back up just as soon as we can. Go ahead,
Karen. Yes.
All right. So I'm going to start reading again at verse 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment.
Okay. Stop right there for 1 minute. Because it's worthy to note that Barak, or how do you say his name, Karen?
Barak, I guess.
He is the man who's going to go forth in battle, but the judge of Israel at this time is a woman named Deborah, and she is under the authority of a man, and that man is her husband. And you notice how Israel came to her. She was judge at that time, and Israel came to her. For judgment. So pick up there in verse 6. And I remind everyone we're in chapter 4 of the book of Judges.
Okay, verse 6. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kedesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun? And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand.
Okay, stop right there for a second. Now, this is what she says. She calls, she sent for Barak, and she says to him, you know, hasn't the Lord God of Israel commanded you, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. So she's saying, hasn't God told you to take 10,000 men and go to Mount Tabor? And then she says, and this is the Lord speaking, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. Now that sounds actually like an imbalance, and in the natural sense, makes no sense. And it would be a fearful thing to do, to come up against this conquering army, and it's 900 chariots of iron, and all of its mighty men. And here is an agricultural people coming up against them with 10,000 people. But the Lord says he's going to draw this man, and draw this man with all of these hosts and these chariots unto Barak, and going to deliver him into his hand. So it's, you got to understand, this could have been a frightening thing from which Barak would shrink, but he didn't. So go ahead, verse 8.
And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kedesh.
Okay, so the victory is still going to be there, but instead of Barak getting the honor of the victory against Sisera, that honor is going to go to a woman. And that woman isn't Deborah. It's another woman. So continue in verse 10.
And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites, and pitched his tent unto the plain of Zaanim, which is by Kedesh. And they shewed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor.
Okay, so here the Lord is setting the stage. So once again, Barak and 10,000 men went forth with Deborah in obedience to the word of the Lord. And a man, a Kenite, not an Israelite, lets Sisera, the conquering army of the time, know what's happening, that Barak and 10,000 men have gone up. So Sisera's response is in verse 13 there.
And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him, from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet.
Okay, hold on just one second. I want to go back up, because back in verse 7, the Lord had told Barak, I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And then we see verse 13, that this word of the Lord come to pass. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river Kishon. So there you see the first part of it fulfilled. And then in verse 15, and the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. So now you see where they were delivered into Barak's hand. The other thing you're going to see here is that Sisera abandoned his troops, which is interesting to note how evil men really are such cowards when things turn against them. But godly men aren't. So if you just pick up on 15 again, Karen. And
the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
And Sisera isn't amongst them because he has fled.
Right.
Or fled.
Fled, yeah.
Yeah.
Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, where there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here, that thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took an hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died.
Okay, just stop right there. So Jael is the wife of the gentleman who clued Sisera into the gathering of Barak and the 10,000 men. So this contest between Israel and Canaan was not unknown to her. And you can see whose side she's on. And I, you know, the thing you have to understand, and we see that she is married into the family of Moses' father-in-law. These are people that understood who Israel is, who God is, the one true God, and that Sisera was actually fighting against God. Now, not everybody liked that idea, and many people rebel, but in Jael, you see somebody who has respect for that. She's not an Israelite, and yet she fought on Israel's side here, and the Lord honors her, and she is the woman who gained the honor, if you look back up in verse 9. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And so here you see where things aren't set. It could have gone to Barak, and he was actually pursuing Sisera. He was pursuing Sisera thinking he was still a part of the army and their chariots. But of course, Sisera, and it appears from this that only Sisera fled in one another way, because if you go back to 16, it says that all the host of Sisera, all the host, fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. The only man left was their leader, Sisera, who was sleeping in a woman's tent and had her standing guard on his behalf. Not a honorable end that this man had. And she did go in, and she took a tent nail and killed him. So if you'd like to finish there, 22 down, Karen.
And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, Come, and I will shew thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin the king of Canaan until they had destroyed Jabin king of Canaan.
That's interesting, isn't it? Verse 23, so God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before, in the presence of, the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. And there you see a picture of a people that believed they could, that acknowledged that God had given it to them, and they went in and they finished that work. And they did that which they had been commanded to do by Moses and then Joshua back, you know, generations before. Do we have Megan back up with us?
I'm here.
Good. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Did you, the next chapter is the Song of Deborah and Barak, but before we read through that, I wondered if either of you would like to add some things to that reading of chapter 4.
I wonder if there's any significance to the part where he says he asked for water to drink and then she gave him milk instead.
Well, I think I know that in Deborah, over in the Song of Deborah, if you look, and this is chapter 5 of Judges, if you go to 24 through, actually through the end, if you'd like to just read that portion there, you see the testimony that Deborah and Barak sing of what Jael did. And this is, chapter 5 is one of those songs that are authored by the Spirit of God, that Deborah and Barak sing unto the Lord. So if you'd like to just read that, Karen, since you brought it up, it's chapter 5, verse 24.
Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail, and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed down, he fell, he lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Her wise ladies answered her, yea. She returned answer to herself, have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two, to Sisera a prey of divers colors, a prey of divers colors of needlework, of divers colors of needlework on both sides, meet for the necks of them that take the spoil. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might, and the land had rest 40 years.
You know, I believe that the reason why she did that is, you know, she had invited him in and told him not to fear, and she treated him in a manner that would cause him to be at, to trust her and to be at peace. So he was thirsty. He asks for water, and she does him one better. She brings him milk. She covers him. He asks her to stand at the tent door. She, to his knowledge, that's exactly what she did. And then when he was asleep, she went in and killed him. And I think it was part of her serving him, where you see in verse 25 there of chapter 5, she brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She treated him as he thought he ought to be treated, as a lord, with high respect. And he was lulled into feeling safe.
Yep,
I like the little comment there.
Makes sense.
He was treated as he thought he deserved to be treated, essentially.
Yeah. He was Antichrist. One thing you have to realize is these people knew the land was Israel's, and they knew who Israel was. Now, they hated Israel, and they enjoyed lording it over Israel, but in the day that faith rose up in Israel, they were put to shame. And you see there in verse 31 that Karen read of chapter 5, so let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. They're identified as God's enemies. It doesn't say let all our enemies perish, let all thine enemies perish, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might, and the land had rest 40 years.
So you have the land, you know, the people who have lived through this, their faith is bolstered and they see the hand of the Lord, and it's essentially a generation.
It's essentially, yeah.
And then the next thing you know, they do evil in the sight of the Lord again, because, you know, just so quickly we forget.
Yeah.
And it's easy to, you know, start attributing somehow the victory to themselves rather than the Lord, who at the time they knew subdued their enemies.
It is something I think we ought to really meditate upon, because if you just stop and think on, if you're going through a difficult time, you seek the Lord. When you're going through good times, you're softer on that kind of thing. And we should be steadfast, his servants, seeking every day to have that very same mindset as the day before. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's a time of difficulty, a time of great success, a time of trial, or, you know, we all can think about our own lives. I don't need to put it into words, but the Lord would have us serve him in faith and in the hope and the promise. What did we learn in Hebrews? Having respect unto the recompense of the reward, where we desire a heavenly city, not the earthly one. That's what we've been reading about in Hebrews up to now. And that has to be our mindset. We need that to be our mindset. And when that is our mindset, then we are not so easily moved as the children of Israel were. When, you know what I'm saying? We need to look at this stuff, because this stuff is not far from us. This stuff is not things that we don't do ourselves. But they did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's what you read in the first verse of chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord after the death of Deborah.
It's also the first verse of chapter 4.
And you noticed, I think if you look in 3 there, it was actually up in verse 30 of chapter 3. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. So there you have 80 years. And then, of course, they did evil in the sight of the Lord again. So you also say here where a person is identified. In chapter 4, it was Deborah, and people are happy to go to Deborah, but upon her death, they fall away again. And so you can kind of see that our faith has to be in the Lord. The Lord always has his people. He always has his people. So we needn't wane and turn to evil things at the passing of, or the absence of, maybe the better way, of a prophet or judge or apostle or whatever. In fact, there's a story that Jesus tells. I wish I had identified it. Maybe one of you will know exactly what I'm talking about, but where a husbandman sets people over his land and he goes away, and he's gone for a fair length of time, and so they begin to conspire against him and figure he's not coming back, and they begin to consume it and take it as though it is their own. And of course they were wicked, and it's a story that he tells seeking to teach us to be steadfast in our service and know that he will return, because he will return. We know he will return. And our adherence to obedience to him gives evidence of it, which is something we want to do to a world that doesn't know. Megan?
It's in 3 places. It's in Matthew 21, Mark 12, and Luke 20.
So you want to read one of them? You can pick one.
Alrighty then. Well, we start in Matthew, I guess.
Thank you for finding it, by the way.
Sure. Matthew 21.
And verse what?
That's not the beginning.
Is it 33? There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard.
Yeah, that looks like one of them.
You want to read it?
Okay. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their season.
You know, one thing that you see in this, which is something not to lose about when we're looking at these people in Judges and as we go forward, is you notice that they look and they see the son and figure if they can kill him, then they can be heir and have the land. And you know, that's really the same spirit that warred against Israel and still wars against Israel, as though the destruction of Israel puts to rest the hope that is in the one true God. And so there, it's a spirit of Antichrist. And it was what warred and railed against Israel, and what wars and rails against God now, both against Israel and against those who serve the Lord. In the Old Testament, because the promise being Jesus had yet to come, you figure Satan himself was about seeking to destroy that promise by obliterating Israel. And so you had these armies and these people that would come in, and that was their purpose, and that was their bent, and that's what they sought to do. And that's what you saw at the birth of Jesus with the proclamation to kill all the babies. That's what you saw when under Pharaoh and the proclamation to kill all the men child. It was a desire to kill Israel, from whom the promised one was going to come. And that's, you know, it is Antichrist. And you saw in that parable that those who seek that are looking to gain the inheritance that can only come through Jesus Christ, but they don't want it that way. And
they're like
go ahead.
Aren't they like the thief that tries to kind of come over the wall or something, other than coming in through the narrow door?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the one that tries to come through the other way. That in John 10 where it says, the same as a thief and a robber.
And that's really the spirit behind the enemies of Israel and the enemies of Christ. And there's two things that war against us in this. And one is, you know, Israel wasn't perfect. It was easy, if that was your choice, to find fault with them. They were faulty, so you could find fault. But they were who they were. And as believers, and I speak to all of us, we have to get past the sin that dwells in our flesh and be willing to humbly stand in who and what we are in Christ. Because the very thing that rails against us is our shortcomings. And we give place to those shortcomings. And that is an evil thing, because in Christ we have none. In Christ we are made perfect by faith. And we cannot give place to the devil, not even an inch, if we want to allow the victory of Jesus Christ to reign in us and to give evidence of him. And yep, the world will rail against us and hate us, but we have to get past that and stand in the acceptance that we have been granted through the blood of the Lamb and the power of his resurrection. And that's why we're looking at these people, and that's why we want to see the whole story, so that we can allow the Lord to show us and build us up rightly and allow those things that would hold us back to fall off of us. And one of the biggest things I know for myself, and I know I'm not alone, is just we look at ourselves. And if that's where we're going to look, we're always going to have a false report. Always. Be it a good feeling one or a bad feeling one. And as we read in verse 23 there of chapter 4 of Judges, so God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before the children of Israel. And it's because they believed God, not because they were perfect. We have 13 minutes, Karen, and I might not interrupt you, but we have time for you to read the rest of the story of Deborah and Barak, and that is in the song that they sing, giving praise to God. So this is chapter 5 of the book of Judges, verse 1.
Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchedest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy people. Out of Machir came down governors, and out of Zebulun they that handle the pen of the writer. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben there were great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan, and why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. The kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hoofs broken by the means of the prancings of their mighty ones. Curse ye, Meroz, said the angel of the Lord, curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be, and above blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a...
Have I lost you again, Karen?
We lost Karen. Hold on just one moment, please.
Yep. Charlie said we lost sound altogether.
Okay. Let's see what we got here. Okay. Let's see. We lost the call. Goofed up. Robin?
Yes. I'm the only one up?
Looks like it. Why don't you... Let's see. Why don't you go
ahead...
Oh, hi, Megan.
There? I'm
here. Why don't you go ahead and just continue reading where she left off, Robin?
Okay. I believe I'll start with 25 here of Judges 5. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he laid down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots?" Her wise ladies answered her, yea, she returned answer to herself. Had they not sped? Had they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two? To Sisera a prey of diverse colors? A prey of diverse colors of needlework? Of diverse colors of needlework on both sides? Meet for the necks of them that take the spoil? So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest 40 years. So, we will say good night. Next week, we're going to look at Gideon. And Gideon continues in the book of Judges, starting with chapter 6. You read about him in chapter 6 and chapter 7. Of the book of Judges. So, Megan, did you have some final words you'd like to say?
Good night.
It looks like we're actually still up, praise the Lord. I was thinking maybe we weren't. Since we're still...
You guys are still up. I got the music playing.
Okay.
It looks like we've got Charlie and Karen back, too, so I'll bring Karen back in here.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So before we sign off, I wanted to just point something out, two things out in chapter 5. One was verse 8. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? And there you see the righteousness of God because Israel forsook God. They chose new gods, and by so doing... war was in their gates. And then in verse 18, here you see where Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeopardized their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. And so it is with the people of God. They faithful people will serve the Lord at jeopardy to their own lives. That's just a truth. So I guess I shall now say good night and God bless. And we'll look forward to looking at Gideon next week.
Good night, everybody. Karen, do you have anything you want to throw in on the last couple minutes here?
She might be on mute.
Must be. What about you, Megan?
Nope, I don't have anything else to add at the moment.
Okay. Well, I guess that's it for tonight then. You've been listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Here we've been broadcasting the Ladies Bible Study.
I think I lost my connection there for a couple of minutes. So
you're back. Good. Okay, go ahead. Well, I'll go ahead and wrap us up then. You've been listening to the Ladies Bible Study here at Eagle Radio.